Amen. Would you please turn to Numbers chapter 27? We'll be looking at verses 10 through 23 tonight. Numbers chapter 27. Some of you are too young to remember this, but back in the 1960s through the 1980s, McDonald's campaign was, "You deserve a break today." Anybody remember that? Yeah. All my generation remembers that. Raises an interesting question, though. What do we actually deserve? Noah Webster defines deserve as to merit or to be worthy of. Now, in a good sense, to merit by labor or services, this is still Noah Webster's words. He says the laborer deserves his wages. Or to merit by good actions or qualities in general, and he uses this statement, the virtuous man deserves honor and praise. And then he says, in a bad sense, to merit by an evil act and to deserve blame or punishment. And Noah Webster's biblical example, it's a wonderful dictionary, 1828 dictionary, because he uses Bible verses to illustrate his definitions. So this is his illustration of deserving in a bad sense. Job 11, verse 6. And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Isn't that an interesting statement? Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. That's part of the mercy of God, withholding from us what we actually deserve. Someone once defined mercy as the Lord withholding from us what we actually deserve, and defining grace as giving to us what we do not deserve. Because of sin, none of us deserve anything, in the true sense of the word. Even the best of us are not deserving. All we have and all we are allowed to experience is by the grace of God. As great as Moses was he a great man in the eyes of the Lord? Absolutely. But he was no more deserving than any other person. In spite of Moses not deserving of God's favor, God was still favorable to him in some ways anyway, giving to him more than he deserved. That's what we see tonight. Numbers chapter 27 and verse 14. Moses had acted rashly in public, and therefore he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Numbers 27 verse 14. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin. Let's review that. Go back to Numbers chapter 20. You probably remember, but let's review it. Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. It was a very specific instruction. You can take your rod with you, because that's the symbol of authority, but speak to the rock. Verse 9, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Can you sense the anger in Moses' tone of voice? I know there are words on a page, but you can just sense the tone of voice coming out of that. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, he smote the rock twice, not just once, twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee. Both Moses and Aaron would, neither one of them would be allowed to go into the promised land. Aaron would die first, and Moses just before the people would go in. But that's what Numbers chapter 27 and verse 14 is referring to. Numbers chapter 27 and verse 14, for ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin. In spite of that, Moses asked God to let him just go into the promised land to see it. I just want to cross the border and see it. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. Remember, Deuteronomy was the entire book of Deuteronomy was written within about 30 days of Moses' death. So Deuteronomy is not part of the chronology. Deuteronomy, when it refers to any of the historical events, it's a review. So in Deuteronomy chapter 3, Moses is reflecting back to Numbers chapter 27. And in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23, it says, and I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land. Just let me go over. That's all I want to do. See the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Moses explained something here in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 26. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. Oh, for your sakes. God was angry with Moses for the sake of the people. Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? The Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. It was for this reason that God would deny Moses' request. The verse continues, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Keep that statement in mind as we go through this. Let it suffice thee. Speak no more of this matter. But, don't you love that word? But. It's such a little word, but it's so big. Verse 27, get thee up into the top of Mount Pisgah, which is not in the promised land. It's outside. It's still on the west, the eastern side of the Jordan River. And lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward. Look all around and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. You can't go over. You can't go over the river and go in, but I'll let you go to a point high enough that you can see in. Let it suffice thee. What I give you, let it be enough. Here's the thing. Moses was a flawed human being, right? Who isn't? We have to be careful not to put people up on a pedestal and worship people. Moses was, remember how, is it James that describes Elijah as a man of like passions as we are? He's saying as great as Elijah was and how much influence Elijah had with God, he could pray and make it rain and he could pray and make it stop raining and all of that. But Elijah was still a flawed human being, just like us. And Moses was a flawed human being, just like us. Romans 3:23 says what? For everyone but Moses. No, all have sinned. And that includes Moses. So if Moses had been perceived by the people to be flawless, there may have been a temptation to deify him in the eyes of the people. Go over to Jude. One chapter, verse 9. Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. What was so important about the body of Moses that the devil wanted it? Would the devil have used the body of Moses to influence the people to worship a man? God made sure that wasn't going to happen. Go over to Deuteronomy 34, verse 6. Deuteronomy 34, verse 6, right at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 5 says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he, the Lord, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. God made sure nobody knew where Moses' body was. The devil wanted it. Michael won. You know, every time there is a battle between God's angels and the devil's followers or the devil himself that's recorded in the Bible, God's angels always win. Always win. Michael won. Not even the devil knew where the body was. You see, Moses had to remain a flawed man who suffered consequence for sin as a lesson to the people that no one was above the law. That's an interesting common phrase today, isn't it? No one's above the law. Well, it was true for Moses. He had disobeyed God, and God issued a consequence. And that consequence had to stand, and Moses' life had to remain as a testimony that no one is above the law of God. So that matter is dealt with. And God said, now let's not talk about that issue anymore. Here's what you can do, and that's it. And let it be enough. Let it suffice thee. And let's not talk about that issue anymore. Moses says, okay, but I have another request. Back to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27 and verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Now, his first appeal was about entrance into the promised land. He was denied that. Moses realizes he's going to die soon since he's not allowed to go into the promised land. He is 120 years old. The Lord has sustained his strength up to this point, but he knows the people are about to enter in the promised land. He can't go along, so it's obvious that he's going to die soon. So he appeals to God to let him know who his replacement is going to be. Please choose a man now. I'd like to know who my replacement is going to be. Just because God has had to deal severely with you due to a flaw, and just because your request has been denied because of that flaw, does not mean that God will deny all your requests. Keep asking. As far as the matter of the land is concerned, let it suffice thee. Let's not talk about that anymore. But this is a different issue. So Moses asked. It doesn't hurt to ask, right? God can say no if he wants to. But it doesn't hurt to ask. You know, in spite of all that Israel was guilty of, how many times did Israel rebel against God? Over and over and over again. Look at Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 20. He says, in those days and in that time, sometime in the future, in those days in the future, at that time in the future, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. God says, I've got something wonderful for you in the future. There's going to be a point at which I'm going to just eradicate all of your sins. Something wonderful is coming for you in the future. In spite of all that Israel had done, Israel didn't deserve it. But God was going to give it to them anyway. Moses didn't deserve to know who his successor was going to be. He didn't deserve it. Why would he deserve it? He doesn't deserve anything. Nobody deserves anything. All that we have is because of God's grace and mercy. All that we are allowed to do is because of God's grace and mercy. None of us deserve it. We have no rights. You know, that statement, is it in the Declaration of Independence? Unalienable rights. I'm sorry. There are no unalienable rights. There are privileges granted by God. The pursuit of, what is it, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We don't deserve that. In a bad sense, we deserve hell. We deserve eternal punishment. That's what we deserve. But by God's mercy and by God's grace, we are granted the privilege to live. Moses didn't deserve this, but God is going to grant his request. Moses says he's concerned about something. Verse 17 in Numbers 27. Numbers 27 and verse 17. Numbers 27, verse 17. Where verse 16 says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may lead them, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. What are sheep like without a shepherd? Sheep cannot live without a shepherd because leaving them unattended endangers their lives. First, sheep have a poor defense strategy because when they're frightened, they run, but tend to run around in circles. How do you get away from the predator when you're just running around in a circle? Secondly, even if they could run, the predator can catch up to them because they are not very fast. And thirdly, sheep are not strong enough to fend off their attackers anyway. Sheep tend to wander off. They get bored, and so they just kind of meander. Remember, Jesus told about the lost sheep, is 99 and one is lost. Well, that sheep got bored and just kind of wanders off, and it's lost. It has no idea where it is or how to get back. They don't have a sense of tracking back. You hear stories of dogs that are lost some distance from their home, and over a period of time, they make it back home again. They have a tracking sense. Sheep can't do that. If they're out there on their own, there's no way they can find their way home. If a sheep ends up on its back, it is impossible for it to turn itself over. If someone doesn't come along and turn the sheep back onto its feet, it will starve to death and die on its back because it cannot turn itself over. Then there are medical issues such as injuries and infections. Remember in Psalm 23, thou anointest my head with oil, talking about sheep. Well, these insects get in the nostrils and in the eyes and in the ears of the sheep, and the sheep has no way of scratching itself, you know, can't get its legs up there to its head or do anything to help itself, and it gets infected, and all of this, it requires some assistance. What would it be like if a nation of 3 million people was in the wilderness without anyone to lead them? Well, we have a hint. What happened when Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days? Didn't take him long to make a golden calf. What if it was more than 40 days? What if it was a lot longer than that? What would they end up doing as sheep without a shepherd? So Moses had a reasonable argument, and God responded, Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun. Joshua is going to be the successor. Now, out of all of Israel, how is God going to choose one man? Well, he tells us here in this verse. Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit and lay thy hand upon him. Note the quality of the man that God is looking for, a man in whom is the Spirit. Go over to Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, when the apostles needed some assistance and they appointed the first deacons, what was one of the qualifications for these men who would assist? Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. In the New Testament, we are all indwelt by the Holy Spirit, all of us who have received Christ as our Savior. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 tell us about that, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that is until Jesus comes and takes our bodies and gives us our glorified bodies. In the New Testament, there is this matter of being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Being indwelt by the Spirit is the Spirit coming into us. Being filled with the Spirit is the Spirit taking control, submitting to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to be actively involved in our lives. There's a difference between being indwelt and being filled. It's a very important distinction to be made in Scripture. A lot of people get that confused, and they make the two be the same thing. It's not. The Holy Spirit indwells us at the moment of our salvation, but he can fill us at different times. That is, we can be submitted to the Holy Spirit sometimes, and sometimes we might not be submitted to the Holy Spirit. But these particular men had a testimony. They exhibited a submission to the Holy Spirit. They weren't just indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They were filled by the Spirit. It was evident that the Holy Spirit was very active in their lives. Going back to Numbers chapter 27, where it says of Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit, he had this same testimony that it was noticeable in his life that the Holy Spirit was working in and through him. That was noticeable. You can tell today when a person is submitted to the Holy Spirit. Their life demonstrates certain spiritual qualities. What are they called in Scripture? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things being exhibited in a person's life as evidence that the Holy Spirit is very active in his life. And then there are the spiritual gifts, where a person is obviously being effective in the way the Holy Spirit wants to use him, and he gives all the credit to God, does not take it for himself. See, it's possible to have certain talents. Some people have the talent of talking. That talent doesn't make you a good preacher. I've known people that didn't have the talent of talking, but God turned him into a great preacher. I forget his name. But there was a man who had cerebral palsy. You know, they have difficulty talking. I don't know if we still have it or not, but we had a CD, wasn't a video, it was back in the CD days. Whenever we would have a snowy Sunday and have to cancel church, our family would sit and listen to this man preach. He had to listen because of his slurred speech, because of cerebral palsy. But did the Lord ever use that man to preach the word? The Lord can use people if they're submitted to him. Now, here is Joshua, and what is his testimony? It is evident that the Spirit of God is in him and working through him. I hope you want that kind of testimony in your life. So, Joshua's appointment was to be public. Numbers 27, verse 19. And set him before Eleazar the priest, who was the high priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. So all the congregation was to witness this event. Eleazar the high priest will conduct the event, and Eleazar was to give Joshua a charge, that is, to give him orders. And verse 20, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. Now, this was not Moses transferring some of his spirit over to Joshua. This was Moses standing in front of all of the people and announcing to all of the people that Joshua was his successor so that the people would recognize Joshua's position and give him the respect he will now deserve for a brief time as partners with Moses, and then ultimately as Moses' replacement. So there's to be this public announcement to the people by Moses, Joshua is my successor by the order of the Lord. And see the intent of this in verse 20, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. We want the congregation of the children of Israel to submit to this next man. Now Joshua will be granted a link to God through Eleazar the high priest. Verse 21. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. And by this process, Joshua will then lead the people. Verse 21 continues, at his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the congregation of Israel with him, even all the congregation. One of these days, you're going to have a new pastor. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but Lord willing, and the next pastor will allow it, I'd like to hang around here. But whenever that new pastor comes, you need to respect him. He won't be me. You might say amen to that. You might be glad to have a new pastor, and I hope you are. He'll be different. It's okay. No two men are exactly alike. But if it's God's man, and he has this testimony, that it's evident the Holy Spirit is working through him, we all need to respect him. What did Moses deserve? Nothing. He didn't deserve to be put in a basket in the bulrushes. All the other boy babies were being killed. He didn't deserve even to live for 40 years in obscurity in the back of the desert. He didn't deserve 40 years of leadership of the people of Israel. He didn't deserve an opportunity to see the promised land. He didn't deserve to know who his successor was. But God granted all of those things anyway. That's what God does. He's very gracious. He gives us so much more than what we deserve. But I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 26 and the end of the verse. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Moses didn't have the opportunity to enter into the promised land. God said, let it be enough that you can see it from a distance, and let's not talk about it anymore. You remember Paul asking God three times to take away the thorn in his flesh? Remember that? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. God said, no, you don't deserve that. But I'll tell you what I will give you. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You're going to have to endure this, but I'll help you through it. Oh, God, I wish you'd take this thing away from... No. But I'll help you through it. And Paul resigned himself to not having relief. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Isn't that an amazing statement? Moses had to accept what he didn't have. Paul had to accept what he didn't have. And we have to accept what we don't have and what we're not allowed to do. What we need to dwell on is what we do have and what we are allowed to do. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 26, let it suffice thee. No, Moses, you can't go in, but you can see it from a distance. Let that be enough. You might say to God, God, I want to do this. Why can't I do this? And God says, no, you can't do that. You can just do this. And let that be enough. Let that be enough. It's enough. And let's not talk about it anymore. Just be glad for what you have and what you're allowed to do. And let it be enough. Don't dwell on what you don't have. Don't dwell on what you're not allowed to do. Be glad for what you have. Be glad for what you're allowed to do. Let it be enough. And let's not talk about it anymore. Interesting advice, isn't it? pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Thank you for all that you do allow us to have. And I pray that if any of us are struggling with what we don't have, that we will accept what we do have as enough. And if any of us are struggling with wanting to do something we're not allowed to do, that we will accept what you have allowed us to do as enough and be grateful for it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.